Okay, here we go. Calling Ben. Calling Ben on the phone. It's time to call Ben on the phone. I'm calling Ben on the phone. And it's a calling Ben on the phone. Calling Ben on the phone. Call
Paul Goody.
Ben. Hey, Ben, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. Everything is recording.
Good. Hey, we have a we good because there we have a special guest today. Guess who's with me?
Is it Steve McCandless?
Say hello, Stephen.
Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Steve McCandless, how's it going, sir?
Hello, Paul.
Hey, this is very exciting. I like you, Stephen.
Well, it's very nice of you to go to the trouble to say that.
Hey, well, no trouble at all.
I've been wondering if you guys needed more batteries.
No.
Paul's got a new, you're kind of behind on the podcast, but Paul's got a new method of which he records the show on his end.
Yes. So, Stephen, I think you'll find this great. Jennifer's old
What?
PC.
Okay.
That's sorry about that. Jennifer's old PC is now downstairs in the basement running Ubuntu Studio.
Okay.
And so I'm recording it using Audacity, which is
Oh.
a program run by Linux
Yep.
stuff, which is great, except that last time the audio didn't work. And so Ben and I are recording the podcast now instead of on Friday,
Oh, no, it
or
was Thursday.
was Thursday.
Yeah, but
Oh,
I was
even
gone the
worse.
weekend. I was
Oh,
gone this
that's right.
weekend.
So anyway, but we fixed it, we think. So, yay!
You
Everything is
think?
good. Yeah, well, so far it's working. But I have my old recorder down here just in case. Because that was the problem, is that we didn't have the old recorder, so we couldn't even, you know.
Is the old recorder recording, or is it just on standby?
It is recording.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be ready. If anything happens, it will have a record of everything that we've done here today.
Which brings us full circle to the batteries.
Yes. So the batteries, we have batteries. Jennifer did in fact announce that we didn't have any in the house at one point in time, but it's because the batteries that we thought we had were in the nail trimmer for Edward. Edward has we've been doing home nail trimming for him, which he hates. But we figure it's better for him to have his nails trimmed by someone that he trusts, who has betrayed him, rather than a stranger who is just bad for a while and then disappears. As I say it out loud, we might have
Yeah.
made a bad choice,
Yeah,
but
exactly. I was yeah.
But anyway, we have one now, and we can always go back to going to
And
the other grooming place.
now you know where the batteries are.
And now
Yes.
and you're in the basement then.
Yes,
With
that's
that
right.
creepy arch.
Yes, the creepy arch is obscured right now by the other walls that are here, but it's still there waiting for me. And again, as I always point out, and for whatever reason, Jennifer continues to downplay, behind that creepy arch, there is a space, like another room that's walled off.
A room you technically own.
Yeah, it kind of bugs me a little bit. So here's something else that's happening. You might hear the cat meowing throughout this episode. She has, oh, she's actually come down now. She hears me talking. She wants me to let her out of the room. And
Which
so,
room?
well, the house
The
is
creepy
what I'm gonna
basement
say.
room. Yeah,
Yeah.
the creepy basement room was the last one you mentioned, but the house. She wants
Right,
out of the
but just
house.
the house in general. So I am going to actually walk, and I'm going to get louder
Jeez.
as I go to let her outside. Now
So,
you guys
now,
are listening to me on the phone, so this doesn't make any sense to you because it sounds like I'm just yelling at you
so when I
here,
get
but
Paul's
I'm
audio, he's going to be off in the
actually
distance.
farther away, and
How
yeah,
is
I'll
your
be yelling from a
computer recording
distance.
you now?
The microphone is a Blue Yeti microphone.
Are you carrying it with you? Is it a wireless microphone?
No.
That's why he was yelling. He was getting louder as he was walking further and further
he's
away.
He's shouting at the microphone.
Yes, from far
probably
away.
Not directly at the microphone. This will be fun.
It's going to be just, great for the uh-huh. people.
Yeah.
Listening.
Mm-hmm.
It's the interactive part of the podcast.
Right.
Where what are they doing? Why aren't they using proper audio techniques? Why is this a chore to listen to?
Indeed. My favorite part of any podcast is them talking about how hard it was to record.
And one of the things that I do when I get Paul's audio is I run it through Levelator,
still
a thing, which is why I cannot upgrade to Catalina on my home computer, because Levelator is still a 32-bit app, as is Audacity.
That and none of your games would work.
None of my games.
Yeah. So there'd be huge controversy.
Such a heavy gamer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ben's gaming is going to take a massive hit.
Although...
Yeah, go ahead.
I will say, a buddy of mine let me play with his Oculus Quest. Dude.
Oh, yeah.
That was super fun.
Yeah.
Man.
And they're only like $300, $400? It's relatively inexpensive I think you get.
For an alternate reality.
If you have that money, Ben, I would suggest doing it. Because I could play Super Hot forever.
Is that the game? Awesome game. The shooting
super
game?
Hot.
It's the game where you're shooting the red guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I played that.
Yeah.
Only move when you move.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of brilliant. My favorite still, as I've covered on the podcast many times, Skyrim VR seems like the only actual virtual reality game, if that makes sense. Everything else are like demo. They're complete. I'm making air quotes. But they're short. And they don't have a lot of gameplay in them. They're kind of demo-y. Whereas Skyrim VR is all of Skyrim, but in a virtual world.
Right.
And it's pretty great.
I actually tried to... I talked to Ben about that years ago, but I thought that was my last production-focused idea, was that all the productions should be using mocap in synthetic environments for just that reason. Because you could render it in 2D or 3D with no extra effort, make avatars for your phones, and like the content would just be, roughly speaking, generated from the same assets.
Yeah,
exactly. That to me seems like the best idea, and then you can choose how you want to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say you'd even have another dimension, which is just audio. That's something that we don't really.
I was going to do audio for the sex scenes.
I feel as though the idea of a 3D space that you navigate in only audio, so that you're blind, kind of, but you can go towards louder things and away from them and stuff like that, would be a really interesting
experience. It's called Papa Sangre early on with the iPhone. Papa Sangre.
Oh, I'm going to have to take a look at that.
Yeah,
that
I'm not sure it exists anymore. Speaking of which, I have a hot take.
That's Father Blood? Is that right?
Father Bad Wine mixed with oranges. Yes. Papa Sangria. Never mind. I have a hot take on the Apple Arcade.
Oh.
Yeah.
The games suck. That's my hot take on the Apple Arcade.
Is this a hot take that you read, or did you play some of the games?
I played a few of these games, and they are bad.
Really?
They are unfinished, half games.
Apple releasing something unfinished?
Yeah, well, this is a subscription service to a whole range of unfinished things, Ben. You have to stay up with the time. This is a monthly subscription to half-assery.
That sounds at least. Yeah, I feel like you can sort of almost get away with it when it's a subscription thing. You're like, well, you're getting all of this.
Right.
It's going to take a couple weeks to work through this whole list of disappointing games.
Hey, you guys, think about this. Annex Theater Workshop Series. You spend a subscription and you can show up to any workshop shows that are being workshopped
Yeah, it's
forever.
It's called the A-list, Paul. It's called $25 a month.
Oh no, no, but the way I was thinking about it is you don't even have to leave your house. It's just a camera that's running.
Oh yeah, you can just watch what's happening on stage.
That'll be popular
at any time.
Annex channel, just a constant feed to the booth cam. Just tune in whenever you want.
Sure,
it's like or OTB TV.
People now, pitch things like that.
I think a fun idea. You have a mannequin that's sitting in the audience with a 3D camera mounted on its head, so that you can feel as though you're actually sitting in the theater. I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Now, Stephen, I'm guessing that you didn't watch Watchmen either.
It's been out for 48 hours.
Yeah, I contacted Ben.
What do you mean, watch all of it?
He asked me if I had seen it this morning.
Oh, no, no, just episode one.
Yeah, I haven't. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. No, go ahead. I understand it starts with a Holocaust murder.
Well,
race riot.
So a feel good, you know, holiday TV show.
So that's what you had heard. You had already heard
Twitter.
About that.
Yeah, just scrolling through my Twitter. I was on jury duty today, so I got a lot of Twitter in.
So here's the basic thing. It starts with, and this is sort of part of what I wanted to talk about. People don't like the politics. Oh, I don't like the politics. I don't like the politics of it. Why don't they keep politics out of? Yeah, Stephen, I think you'll
politics
be with
out
them.
Of the Watchmen.
Why don't we keep politics out of Watchmen?
Yeah,
yeah.
Where do they get off making the Watchmen political?
But the thing is, the thing in the opening, I'm watching it and I'm like, oh man, you know, they're doing this alternate history thing and it's great. Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah.
And then it starts to dawn on me, like I get this little creepy itch in the back of my head. I'm like, wait a second.
Wait a minute.
I think this is Black Wall Street.
Yeah.
Which I had only heard about recently, like within the past, I'd say probably
Black Wall Street?
3 or 4 years.
What's Black Wall Street, Paul?
So, okay. Basically, the idea is that in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a whole bunch of black-owned businesses, people doing well for themselves, and there was a incident that happened, I believe, and I could be wrong about this, I'm just going off of memory, there was a shoeshine guy who either made advances towards or was rude towards or whatever.
Or they just lied.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter.
That's also possible.
Yeah, possible? possible.
Sorry.
Outside chance. Yet another example.
I've been living in the Midwest a lot. I learned to qualify a lot of stuff.
Sure. You don't want to come down hard on the side of racial justice. By mistake.
I'm sorry. That's to everyone, and also I'm sorry that I'm laughing. But yeah, so I don't want you to get the wrong idea about me that I think people deserve to live.
But, exactly. Yeah, that's about the scope of it. Yeah.
So yeah, but the idea is that white people got mad.
Mm-hmm.
Started rioting, mm-hmm. basically, and it went so far as planes dropping bombs on black-owned businesses.
Yeah, yeah, it's basically like the largest terror attack, and for quite a while.
Yeah,
if we can just take a moment for a second to address how annoying this is all for me as a white guy, because. That ground isn't I don't think addressed enough. The whole incident is one of a handful of really explicit reasons why you have to listen to people talk about reparations. Because you know there's a lot of vague senses of feelings of guilt and all this sort of thing, and then that is one of a handful of just examples where you're like, oh my God.
Yeah,
it's actually all true. white people are just the worst. I can't. And you're left absolutely defenseless. And
yeah,
essentially
and in
grateful
2 years,
that anyone suggesting that you be able to pay blood money and not just be set on fire. It's like writing
yeah,
a check is like an act of generosity and forgiveness.
I've talked to Ben about this several times, that the best case scenario for me when I'm an old white guy in the United States is I'm in a little boater hat. I got my little vest on. And I'm like, hey, everybody, I'm sorry. First of all, let me get that out of the way. Let's go on a tour of all the horrible things that have happened. In the end, I'm going to be in a dunk tank. Don't worry. You'll get a chance to do that. I feel as though people in charge are making a bad decision of trying to, instead of slowly ease out of where they're at right now, and like, hey, maybe there's a way that we can get out of this. They're trying to hold on to the position that they have right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a problem because it's not good. It can't hold. It's something that can't be done.
Well, you have to. See, I don't know. I think that's a little middle class thinking there, Paul.
Oh, okay.
That you're talking like somebody who occasionally suffers consequences from the results of his decisions, and that's
and
that's really not the realm in which these people operate.
I'm sorry, I still think of middle class as being also the wrong way of thinking.
Right, you think of the upper classes as like middle class, but with more money, and that's at all. It's not. Dick Cheney didn't shoot a guy in the face and then get away with it. Dick Cheney shot a guy in the face, left the state without talking to a cop, and then had the guy apologize on television like a couple weeks later after they finally finished fishing out the buckshot out of his heart.
Yeah.
He's not rich, and so he has an easier chance hiding. Rich that he can just not even deal with it.
Right.
Like, that's other people's problems.
That's part of the thing. When you hear about a high-profile person getting arrested for a crime of some sort, and they don't seem to understand what's happening, it's because
the look of confusion
they don't
on their
understand
face.
What's happening in the way that you would have understood it.
Right.
They're like, oh, what? I don't want to do this. Why are we doing this?
Yeah, this is not something I want. I want to return it. I want to talk to the manager. I want to have...
So
I'm going to have your job.
I'm going to have... Yeah.
There's...
I mean, look at the Sackler family.
The right? Who? I'm sorry?
The Sackler family. I mean, we're actually having a court case about, you know, a billionaires who wanted to be more billionaire, killing a couple hundred thousand people in an effort to become more billionaire. They were already billionaire. They just wanted more billionaire.
It's that 50th billion. That's the hardest one to make.
That's when you really know you've made it.
And, I've been outside of the news loop for a little bit. Who's this?
Everything around you, which has been perverted by OxyContin addiction, opiate addiction. Yeah. So this is the sacrifice. Purdue Pharma. One of many, many companies, but they're a private company owned by a single family. So you get nice photos of everyone who's the most culpable, like, you know, waiting for the turkey to be done. Right. And so they're really easy to literally put a name to it. And they just wanted to be more billionaire. And the interesting thing is that for me, I'm not saying Dark Knight was a great movie. But it's so much so, this example of things that are bad in the way that things are supposed to be bad versus chaos. And you're like, so these people just slaughtered, like put out this incredibly addictive drug, lied about how addictive it was, about the fact that in the span of a week, if you took the drug as prescribed, a significant portion of the population ends up addicted to it in 1 week.
Gotcha.
With your, you know, pill with food. At the end, you're going to be going into withdrawal. And they're lying about this. They're downplaying it. We have a Congress that was bought to the point where the only action they took before it finally hit the fan was to make it harder for the DEA to investigate. Because
I'm sorry, that's not funny.
No, it is. They limited. Yeah. They don't want the you know, the DEA interfering with the good American businesses. And yet that's a rational element. That's like, oh, well, they were killing people for money. Like, you know, I guess that, you know, that's just a.
They had a reason.
They had a reason. Money.
Money.
Yeah. And it's not like this great example of sociopathy or anything. That's just like, oh, yeah, I get it. I mean, you get more money with the bodies.
Anybody in their position would have done that.
Right. And all the orphan children. I mean, that's fine. I'm not paying for those. I mean, taxes are evil. You know, I don't want to pay for somebody else's kids.
And there are so many uses for orphans, too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. So, yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
So here's, this is the
consequences.
Big thing.
Getting back to consequences and how you're failing to adapt, how you're, because your judgments are faulty because on some level you integrate the concept of guilt.
Yes.
Which implies responsibility. And
well, not only that, I was trained to feel guilt.
Right. That's me too, actually, come to think of it. Whereas what we have now Trump. What's that guy? Baby Trump Jr.?
Donald Trump Jr.?
Donald Trump Jr. lecturing people on air about how bad it is for Joe Biden's kid
to capitalize on
the family name.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And and that's it. And then we just have to sit there and stare at the little box and say, oh, yeah, well, you know what? He makes a lot of sense. What sort of person are you if you trade on the family name and never prove yourself?
Yeah. Good advice from Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah, right. Let's cut now to Ivanka Trump, senior White House advisor, Ivanka Trump, currently touring with the U.S. Diplomatic Corps.
And her husband, yes. Jared Kushner, who is responsible for fixing everything pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, pretty everything everywhere, and who was bailed out by the Saudis at 600, that six property 666 Park Place or whatever that he purchased, and had the Saudis bail him out. That's cool.
We live
so
in
I
a
can't talk about
post-hypocritical world.
Really,
the Watchmen, because I don't want to spoil it for
well,
you guys.
You can talk about the white guilt parts.
But what I'm gonna talk to you about instead, because there's a similar thing going on with this. I believe it was called The Hunt or The Hunted.
Oh,
there was a
the
movie
hunt,
that was
yeah.
going to be coming out. Yeah, there's a movie that's going to be coming out called The Hunt. A lot of people complained.
I thought the trailers looked pretty good myself.
Well, this is the thing, right? People don't know what they don't know. And I'll explain. The people around my workplace who were complaining about it, because a lot of people complained about it, and then they said, okay, we're not going to put this out. They're complaining about it because it's a movie. This is their complaint. This movie about these elites who are hunting... you know, regular law-abiding, God-loving Americans for sport.
The world's most dangerous game.
Don't put this movie out. It's bad. Don't like it. The thing that the folks I was talking about didn't understand, because I saw the same trailers they did. This is going to be a movie about rich left people getting killed by right-wing people.
Yes.
Which is what you, I think, if the movie had come out, everyone would have gone, oh, this is great. It's the movie that they want every other movie to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was pretty clear from the trailer, is they had a you know, some red state alpha female kicking all the weenie heinies of the liberal elites who had set her
and
up
yet,
on this kill.
They said, no, we don't want this because it's going to... And I don't know what movie they were expecting to see from that trailer. Like,
it's
if they
pretty
were
obvious
gonna die
to
in the end or whatever.
Exactly. Critical analysis is not their strong suit because they're a pack of toothless idiots. No, wait, I mean...
I would like to say goodbye to our toothless idiot demographic.
Oh.
Our sponsorship for
boy,
them.
Oh, boy. But the big thing is that... I mean, this is the thing, is that if you... To paraphrase Rick Miller, it's really teethless idiot. Unless they have absolutely no teeth, because otherwise, as long as you've got at least one, you aren't toothless.
Putting the dick in pedantic. So the basic thing, though,
is that there are things in Watchmen that people are complaining about.
You don't
that
say.
I think if they were to watch the movie, I mean the TV show, like through to its conclusion, there's going to be some stuff that that maybe is nuanced. I don't know.
Wait a minute. You're suggesting that people watch something before they criticize it?
I know.
Shut up. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Maybe that what's on the surface, I don't know about, you know, if you've ever seen anything that the writer Damon Lindelof has done before. But maybe the thing on the surface isn't actually what's going on. I don't know.
Why don't you run down some of those credits for us, Paul? Not all of us.
Let's see, did Lost.
Right. Well, that's okay. Don't start with Lost.
The Leftovers. The Leftovers.
Yeah, The Leftovers is better. Better example.
A good redemption, in my opinion.
To be fair, The Lost was impossible to write coherently as a syndicated television show.
Yeah,
you can't write a story that complicated with an unknown number of episodes over an unknown number of years.
Right.
That you just can't.
We're just making this up as we go along.
We have to. Babylon 5 that, you know. In and out.
Now Babylon 5, still, I don't mean to retread old ground. I don't think we've ever talked about it in this podcast, but it still is amazing to me, the story of that, where they pitch it as a Star Trek idea. And they say, no, we don't like that. Sorry. So they go off and they say, okay, we're going to make our own. And then Deep Space Nine comes out, which is arguably the exact same show.
Yeah.
Except not as well executed. I don't want to make Deep Space Nine people mad.
Yeah, don't make Deep Space Nine people mad, because those people are hardcore, number one. The number of people who think Deep Space Nine is the best Trek is not zero. It's more than the number of people required to burn down your house. Let's put it that way. Fandom. The total fandom can carry 5 or 10 gallons of gas, road flare. So I'm not familiar enough with Deep Space Nine to cap off on it. Wouldn't want to offer up a comparison.
Have you guys seen the newest Halloween film, the one that came out like a year ago?
Yes.
How about you, Ben?
Halloween, is this starring Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not seen it.
Okay. Steven, it's time to play Let's Exclude Ben.
Okay, cool. I'm down.
Every all right. show.
The, has Ben ever the done sandwich for me? Discussion.
Okay.
Between the two police officers.
Oh, right.
When I say that, do you remember it?
Yeah. I don't know if this is going to be a huge spoiler for Ben to know that Bami was discussed in the course of the events of the film. I don't...
The big thing that I don't want to ruin for him is the fact that, for me, that was probably the best part of the movie.
Well, I think you just ruined that for him. Now he knows that that's your best part, your favorite part of the film.
Now they know.
Yeah, I know.
They talk about Bami.
Yeah, they do talk. At one point, Bami is mentioned in this film.
And it's a really slice of life scene. It made me care about those two characters.
Yeah, yeah, it was well done. It was a pretty good movie, actually.
What I'm saying is, I have HBO now. That's the big thing.
That's really what the takeaway. So yeah, you guys are sort of cagey about your subscription services. So Paul, did you have to let something go?
No, I haven't. I haven't let something go yet. Okay. I need to talk to the family and find out if the thing I'm thinking about maybe getting rid of is CBS All Access.
Oh, see, that's new Trek, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. But it's not. It's not out yet, and I would pick it back up again. Maybe a little bit. But yeah, I enjoy not having commercials. That's like the big thing. I'll pay for a lot more if I don't have to watch commercial stuff.
I acknowledge that sentiment, but I'm going to go ahead and say, here's where you're wrong.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Occasionally, I forget why, but I was watching broadcast television. For some live event, probably soccer or something, you have to watch the commercials. I think
It's the pinnacle of filmmaking.
Well, so everyone says, like, so they retrieve these old shows. You know, you have a couple examples of, you know, people putting VHSs online and stuff, or this is the only copy of whatever. Most famously, like, years ago with the Star Wars Christmas special, that was the only copy that, you know, that people, you know. So the show's fine. The show's whatever it is. But the commercials tell you so much about what was going on at the time. You watch the commercials. The commercials are freaking fascinating, and you cannot believe some of the stuff that was just sort of mainstreamed. The commercials now are absolutely insane. They're horrifying. So many, and also in part because it's so much cheaper to put commercials on now, because paid placement and political advertising are taking up so much room that, but I mean, the local businesses aren't really advertising online. It was, you know, over
on
the
TV.
Air. Yeah. So you get weird car dealership ads, and then mesothelioma, like law class
sure,
action
yeah, yeah.
things. And then a lot of ads about, stair lifts in your home, or medical alert bracelets, or just, you know, what to do if you're a shut-in and you're just watching television. You're like, I was just here for the Seattle rain, or, you know, to watch a Seattle Storm game. And now I'm just being constantly reminded about my decrepitude.
My impending death.
Because that's really what it's about. It's about, like...
I still feel that if they were to make a channel that was no commercial... I mean, sorry, opposite... Starting over, no shows, just commercials. That you could get people who love background noise, who will put that on specifically because they know that they're not gonna. They can watch it for as long as they want to. They won't have to get invested in anything over, you know, 30 seconds.
Sometimes watching broadcast TV feels like that.
Yeah, well, Jennifer pointed out, I think I've said this to her before, and she pointed out that that's kind of what MTV is, which is true. I don't know MTV now,
yeah,
but MTV
no
when we were
did.
Or the last third of any MSNBC talking head show.
So, speaking of MSNBC talking head show, are there any corrections today, Ben?
I think there are, as a matter of fact.
Hey, look at that. I already knew that there were, but I wanted to... keep up the illusion that we never talk. Well, actually, we didn't talk about it. I talked about it with Jennifer fact checker, my wife. Those of you who haven't listened to the show but decided to start with this one for whatever reason will know the basic premise is that Ben and I, and sometimes our guest, hello Steven, talk about things, but we don't do any research, we don't know what we're going to talk about, and we don't look stuff up while we're talking. And why?
Nope.
Because we want to get away from the idea of people being, as other people have put it, quote, Wikipedia smart, unquote, where you don't actually know something, you look it up, and then all of a sudden you act like you knew it the entire time. So we try to put our knowledge or lack thereof on display. What's coming out is only from inside of our heads. And what does that mean? That means that we often get things wrong. And when we get things wrong... we ask you, the listener, to write to us at bensemail@yahoo.com@gmail.com.
Correct.
And tell us what we did that was wrong, what we said that could be said better, so on and so forth. And if you didn't do it, that's fine, because my wife, Jennifer Fact Checker, Jennifer Pratt, has written to us and let us know what we've done wrong in past episodes. And Ben, we like to call this segment... Corrections. Ding. Hey, nice.
Oh, man, we almost had a song going. We were talking about a Sam Elliott movie last week, something about Hitler and Bigfoot. What was the name of that?
Oh, yeah. I believe it's The Man Who Shot Hitler and Then Bigfoot. I think that's the title of it.
All right. Well, the only correction we have this week is the name of the Sam Elliott movie is The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then Bigfoot.
Ah. That's better. That's a better title. So I'm all for it. Wait, that's the only correction.
I see it. That's it.
Getting on Paul, hey! Paul on record. Further risky ground. Pro killing Hitler. There's you're on fire this week.
I don't know. There's a I think we've talked about this before. I've used this as an example. Since moving here, I understand a little bit more about the people who are anti-gun control.
Sure.
Because of pumpkin cannons.
Right. Pumpkin cannons are cool.
And so it's my pumpkin cannon, right? I should be able to have my pumpkin
right.
cannon.
I'm responsible with my pumpkin cannon.
No one is going to take my pumpkin cannon. And Jennifer, and I almost am tempted to have her come down and talk about this, but she put up the scenario of somebody who actually sets up outside of a school and puts a pumpkin cannon together. Yes. And takes all the time and the air compressor and all that kind of thing.
Are they just compressed air? Is that...
say again?
Are they just compressed air? I thought they were...
It's pretty much
I thought it was... I thought it was the same as like a potato cannon where it's a combustant.
I like believe hairspray. It's just compressed air.
That's
I
impressive.
Don't,
compressed air.
I don't know for sure. Here's the thing. I will say this. The gourd cannon that I was using, which shoots gourds, not I mean, pumpkins are gourds. You know what I mean? Smaller gourds. I believe that was just compressed air.
Yeah, we're having the same problem here that we're having with Ninja Assassin. It's like...
Oh, what's that?
Do you kill ninjas? Are you an assassin who's also a ninja? You know what?
Oh, yeah.
So you're
ninja,
your gourd
ninja
cannon.
Exterminators.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ninja yeah. exterminators.
I do enjoy that. But Ninja Assassin works too. There's actually, you know, now that you mentioned Steven, there's a Netflix show called The Wu Assassins.
Right.
And that's the thing, is that he is the Wu Assassin.
Right, he kills
Wu. He kills Wus?
Yeah.
Job is to kill the Wu. Yeah, 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 exactly. Have you seen any of that?
I watched a couple, like two or three episodes, mostly because Ya is such an amazing martial artist. It wasn't quite as messed up as The Raid, though, so it didn't hold my attention.
That was the thing that also happened to me, is that all the martial arts stuff is good, and then the people have dialogue, and I'm like, okay, no. I don't want it.
Our listeners should just go watch The Raid.
Yeah, really, that's all you need to
do. Is that on Netflix?
Yeah, probably. It's somewhere. Doesn't matter. Go watch it.
It and watch it.
My other favorite is that guy. He did a martial arts series, and it was a series of movies based on his character getting retribution on a criminal syndicate who keeps stealing his elephant.
Oh no, that's Tony Jaa.
Yeah, are we talking about Tony Jaa, or are we talking about another guy?
We're talking about another guy. The guy who was in The Raid. Oh, by the way, Steven, I just need to make it completely clear. True to form, I've not actually seen The Raid. I've just seen a lot of clips of it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But that's not Tony Jaa. That's a different guy.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're right.
Tony,
you're right.
I think Tony Jaa is from Thailand, and this guy, right. I believe, is from Indonesia.
Right, right.
I don't remember his name.
Right, right. Yeah, the series about the recovering the stolen elephant is brilliant. I forgot what the first movie...
He runs on the elephants at one point.
Yeah, yeah. And he does actually... They do kung fu, elephant-based kung fu at one point.
Nice.
With the elephant.
Yes.
Yeah, totally, totally, probably just terrible for the elephant. It was shot in places where this wasn't so much of a problem.
Right. There was no ASPCA oversight.
Right. No. They weren't... Obviously, no one with any of those misgivings was, you know, within 1,000 miles. But I mention it only because it had one of the coolest variants of the opening intro scene, where basically, you know, you show off the good guy and what a badass the good guy is, and then you go to generally you show the bad guy first doing something, you don't show everything, and then you show the good guy, and there's an intro, and he gets to be cool. Well, this what they show him, and the idea is he's from this agrarian community. And there is like the end of harvest festival. And so their end of harvest festival is this, the community has this game. And the game is they have everybody's of course desperately poor. So this is what they do for fun. There's somebody owns a lovely piece of embroidery that has been tied to the top limb of this tree. Right. And then all the young men of the village try to climb the tree. and sees the piece of embroidery. And they want to be first, so they have a martial arts fight along the basically bare branches of this massive tree where people are not only getting kicked in the head, but then fall,
right,
bouncing off of branches and then catch themselves and keep climbing. And
I think I've seen that.
Yeah, it's an amazing scene. And what I liked about it was that it turned the script on its head. And instead of saying, oh, see how tough he is, you know, by some sort of confrontation, he's like, no. He's a badass because this is what his people do for fun.
Right.
This is literally a party game for them. They just got kicked 60 feet out of a tree and it only stunned them. This is going to be, one of these people is going to be your protagonist.
They'll be back next year.
Yeah.
I believe that the series is Ongbok.
Yes.
I want to say.
Yes, yeah. I think you're correct. Yes, yeah, a series about
There is a great scene that I showed someone who had never heard of it, he's in a building and he's fighting people level by level by level, and eventually he shows up somewhere and he yells out, "Where are my elephants?" Because this person has no idea what these films are about and just sees this massive fight scene, the fact that he screams, "Where are my elephants?" is really incongruous, and I loved it.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
Who knows? Who cares?
This is
good. This is what we're talking about.
Oh, we were talking about Wu Masters, Master Assassins. We'll be... You had a gourd cannon. And it was either the shoot gourds or shot gourds.
Right. Yeah. The thing that I was going to say is
English.
People, this is something I've already said to Ben, but I'll say it to you. There are some people in these parts, Stephen.
Yeah.
Who complain about the gun-free zone.
Yeah.
Stickers.
Uh-huh.
Because if the gun-free zone stickers are there, then the bad guys will know that law-abiding citizens won't carry their guns.
Yeah, it's easy
pickings.
Yeah.
So they're going to carry their guns so that doesn't happen.
Right.
Which leads to them being the only people who are violating the rule.
Oh,
and they
possibly
don't see that's an issue.
Well, I mean, it's I think it's a pretty clear dividing line of involving how many strangers you meet a day.
I think that's a really great point.
If you don't meet a lot of strangers and you have a reasonably, you know, homogenous population, then sure, a lot of things make sense. And that's sort of the basis. I just had this chat argument with somebody I know about like no, actually, it takes a bit of self-awareness, and it's deeply unsettling to know that your common sense is just a bunch of reflexive crap that was programmed into you when your brain was still smooth, and very little of it has any sort of underpinning at all. Most of what people think of as biological truths or truths, you know, behavioral truths rooted in biology, were also completely flawed. And in fact, the entire concept of alpha males, for instance, is actually a bunch of crap. And the hierarchy, the delineations of the hierarchy are nowhere near that clear. Generally speaking, there is one most violent ape. Yes. But other than that, things become a lot finer grained, and whose kids are whose, for instance, and whether people prefer people who help them make nests. And when you send female primatologists to investigate, do some field work, they come away with much different interpretations of the social structure. And
yes.
So, do are women bad at spacewalks, or are there just no spacesuits that fit them?
Exactly.
Right. Well,
the one thing that I mentioned to a friend of mine today, when people say, you know, facts, man, we can't argue about facts. Facts are facts. I think of a fact. The sun is out, which is absolutely 100% true for everybody in my office park.
Right.
But if I'm talking to someone in Japan, and I'm like, facts are facts, sun's out, the sun is not out for them.
Hell, you guys can't even agree on what day it is.
Exactly. So yeah, that's the thing, is that anybody who says, well, all I'm doing is saying fact-based things, it's these other people who have got problems, you always gotta, you know, check to see where they're at on the globe. If there even is a globe, am I right?
Right.
Oh, God.
I read a lot of that stuff, although, sadly, these days, I have to say I've it's starting to bug me, the whole I can't enjoy my conspiratorial wackadoodle carefully curated news as much as I used to.
And why is that?
I don't know.
I think it's like anything. It's becoming too mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, I not to be all hipster about it, but yeah, it was. but I would also argue that it changed. Like, you know, when I was on the ambulance, you know, Art Bell was just was stylistically different. He was just there to help someone tell a story about the crystal cities on the moon, and. You know, there was no suggestion that any of those people were going to be in any position to do anything more than to pick which Grand Slam variant they were going to eat that morning. And so it was fine, right?
And
it was
and
fine.
Also
they could think whatever they wanted.
Sometimes he wouldn't always, like, go all in with you either.
No.
He'd be like, oh, well, tell me more about right. this, whatever. He's not saying, I'm with you. Let's go and, you know, make...
Let's go hunt chupacabras.
Right.
No, he would.
Yeah. He's teasing out a story.
Or, yeah. It was very.
I remember very nice. One, for instance, where a guy had shot Bigfoot.
Right.
But he didn't want to tell anybody where it was.
Sam Elliott.
Because. back around. Because if somebody were to find out where Bigfoot was and they determined that Bigfoot was actually a form of human. Then he would be prosecuted for murder, and he didn't want to do that.
That is a solid half hour of radio right there.
Yeah.
And exactly. So it's Art Bell just saying, well, can't you at least give us a hint of where, you know, it's great. Good stuff. But yeah, you don't get that anymore.
No, it's much. It's So yeah. So the flat earth crowd and Jesus. So can't we talk about flat earth without bringing a Jewish conspiracy into it? I mean, you're really harshing my mellow here.
We feel as though, or I feel as though, the fun flat earth, I think it's still possibly fun, is the thing of, well, the sun behaves in this way, so it has to be a round earth. And somebody says, well, unless it's this much closer. And then somebody works out all the math and physics of how it would work. That's kind of fun.
Right.
There's a guy who makes little models of what the flat earth looks like.
I think I saw him in that documentary.
That documentary was really good, by the way.
Yeah,
it was much better than I thought it was going to be.
I loved the fact that they kept on proving that the Earth was a sphere.
Yeah,
that was my favorite part about it.
But also, I mean, they really kind of fleshed out the backstory of those people and kind of like were
they worked a love story into the whole thing.
I know, I loved that. And it's like, wow, these people are kind of lonely, and you kind of see his mom supporting him and saying, but, you know, honey, she seemed nice. I mean, it was like,
you know,
your friends.
Yeah.
He's like, this is obviously a concerned mom.
Right.
This is not a deluded
woman.
But
he's getting out. He's meeting people. Yeah. You know, he's not spending his entire day in front of the computer.
And you get and I wonder how much of that is just me getting old. Because, no, because I've been running into that so often. Because I don't know if our radio audience has listened to has watched Footloose again recently, but go ahead and watch Footloose. And basically, like, I don't know what your experience is going to be. Mine was that all the little punks should just give it a rest for a second.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
The entire town is recovering. This when I don't even know. I can't even remember what I came with. I mean, I remember, you know, being, of course, with Kevin Bacon. And But I think, like, the tragedy that they're talking about in the movie happened, like, maybe 6 months before the events in the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, they had not even begun to come to terms with it. And you're just like, just give people a second, you smug little, like, just chill.
I think
you come here from your big city.
I immediately, I now sympathize with the preacher.
Another barometer people use in terms of like how they feel when they get old is going back to That 70s Show. Like when you were a kid, you watched That 70s Show, you're like, yeah, I'm with Eric and his friends. But now when they're older, like, you know, Red had a point. You deserve a boot up your ass.
I don't think I was ever a kid when That 70s Show was on.
Yeah.
I think it came out when I was in college.
Yeah.
So I would have been an adult by that time, Ben. I've got 3 years on you, and it's a heavy burden to bear.
Yeah, you're all a pack of idiots, and no, you shouldn't become. Nobody should become pregnant.
Oh, this is another thing. I talked to
none of your opinions mean anything. They just don't.
3 years older than me.
Oh, Jesus!
And he's talking about all of his health, his medical problems.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I got to do this. I got to do this.
Yeah.
And he's like, what about you? And I'm like, I haven't been to a doctor in 15 years, I want to say. It's weird. I mean, I've been.
And you, somebody I'm assuming who has good health insurance.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't do it. And I think it's because of my dad. My dad is very sort of grin and bear it kind of thing. But I also don't feel bad either. But it's totally one of those things of where I'm not going in because I'm afraid that if I do go in, something's going to be wrong. Right.
They're going to find that cancer. That's how
they get you. They make up a thing that's wrong with you, and then you have it. That I think that's part of it. It's all paranoia.
Well, they want to be able to prescribe the OxyContin to you, so you know the Sacklers can get more rich.
This is my point. When I got my my tooth pulled.
Uh-huh.
This time they didn't give me any drugs because I didn't want them the first time they gave them to me, and I ended up just turning them into the sheriff's station, or no, the police station.
To be clear, you didn't report the dentist to the sheriff's office. You handed the sheriff your unused medications.
No, and I'm sorry. What happened was...
My dentist, ninja assassin.
I need to be clear.
Turned
I,
into
I,
the sheriff.
I took it to the... to the police station, and I talked to them way too long about it.
Yeah, at all. Really, like, talking to them at all. Would
how
be,
much of this did what, you take before you brought it here?
Why? Let when me tell I, you how not this, guilty I am.
I have kind of a paradoxical reaction. It's supposed to calm you down, but instead it makes me highly agitated. Anyway, the point is, because
if I take this, who knows what I'll do or have done?
And they're like, go ahead and put it in that machine. They're like, okay, I can't get this machine to work.
Oh my God.
It's a mechanical device, and I understand it's mechanical, but the operation of it, I'm really not sure. And they're like, if you can't get that to work, you could always take it to the sheriff's station. And I was like, no, I'll work. And so finally I got it to work. And I said to them this sentence: when I'm looking from outside myself, I can tell that I seem like I'm doing badly here, but I want you to know that I know how badly it seems like I'm doing. Everything should be fine. And wow. I'm still walking around. So wow. I think this was like a year ago.
Yeah.
A year or 2 years ago.
And you were telling various sheriff's deputies this.
Oh, no. This was the police station. The sheriff was in my head because that's where they wanted me to go.
Really?
If it didn't work.
Yeah,
the police
anywhere
station.
Else. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, I was telling a friend of mine again about the time that I... I was at, I had gotten into a car accident, and I went into a hospital, and I wanted to talk to the neurologist that they had because, and this is my quote, whenever I'm looking at something, it's like someone's taking the tint and the brightness and contrast and just sort of adjusting it. Colors don't seem the same way. And they're like, oh, well, that's interesting. Do you ever hear like a noise? And I'm like, well, I don't know, I guess... I mean, I hear noises. They're like, do you know where they come from? Are they like inside your head? And I'm like, well, no. I mean, how does noise generate? And they're like, we want you to wait in this room for a little bit. We'll be back. And I realized that they had not left the door open. They had shut the door, and I couldn't get out
there
of the door.
There were no knobs.
Mm-hmm. And this person came into the room, and they seemed surprised to see me. And I said, oh, thanks. And I left, and I got in my car. And when I drove off, I hit, like, a little divider that's in the parking garage. Well, then I drove away.
Wow.
Now, all of that happened probably 20 years ago, sometime around there.
Uh-huh.
But I'm always wondering...
That divider is still broken.
If I had actually escaped, and if there's a note anywhere. And what I figured out is that one of two things happened. Either they accidentally shut me in the room. I don't think so, but it's possible. Accidentally shut me in the room. Number two, if they actually meant to shut me in the room and then I got away, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
they probably wouldn't want to tell anybody. So I'm probably safe.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but that's before you guys met me. So
yeah, yeah, but I was a young man in a, well, I wasn't a young man, but I was a man in a white coat for a while.
Yeah.
And you have to remember, beyond concerns of liability, that's not personal.
Yes.
So, but it is totally effing creepy. Like, I can remember this poor bastard who had been drinking one night. Apparently, because he had owned a business and he was in some troubles with the IRS, and so he had worked late. Instead of going home,
classic
to his wife, he had gone out drinking and was wandering around like on Boren, and had stopped and was like looking down at I-5.
Uh-oh!
And someone called 911. And it was a patch through because our entire emergency medical system is underfunded and it's terrible.
We'll do another whole show on that.
Yeah. So no one went, and they just handed it to the AMR. And so the response was to, you know, night shift goons. I was the smaller person showing up and having a chat with you. And this guy was talking and I said, well, you know, we're here because somebody called. And
did you have lights?
We didn't go lights and sirens on the pass through because it's a total unknown. They would actually text a script. The ones I really liked was the Arby's was the best when it was like, you know, 3 a.m. we're going to Arby's. It's closed Arby's. The address gives an address. Man shouting in phone. Hung up, said no weapons, and then address. And you're just supposed to go there and pick up this guy who was screaming something into a payphone before slamming it down.
And he claims he has no
claims
weapons.
Claims no weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it was never clear if that was just like a macro that the dispatcher was hitting. Right.
Control shift four.
Yeah, then send, you know, whatever. So, yeah, we show up in this parking lot and we, you know, swing the truck around and get him in the high beams. And he sees us and he kind of shambles over and he starts tugging on the back doors. I was like,
come around the front.
Yeah, we'll be having the initial interview through the windshield, sir. The engine will be running.
Right.
You'll be standing in front of the ambulance looking into high beams. That's how this initial evaluation is going to go. And if you do something I don't like, my opening move is going to be to run you over and then drive away. So that's my game plan. Welcome to emergency medicine. So this guy is this different guy.
Yeah.
Looks over the edge. In the course of our initial chat, he does mention, he was like, well, yeah, sometimes, you know, I think about jumping.
From Boren onto I-5.
Well, yes. And that's all he needs to say. He doesn't realize he's now crossed the line.
Right.
I now, yeah. Like, I have no choice now. And I have to call the cops. Right. And yep. He has to go to Harborview because no one involved now has the legal authority to evaluate whether or not he was kidding.
Right.
And it's right. Everybody's license. And it's our only legal protections are based on our following protocol. If I deviate from protocol and he later does anything, they can do the deep pocket, you know, hunt looking for money.
Yeah.
And if anyone didn't follow the rules. So it's very much, I mean, so you're careful to tell these stories and you have this sort of playful paranoia sort of, but there's very real mechanism. The machine, once one of the teeth of one of the machine like hooks into you.
Yeah.
There's like, he wasn't going to get out of Harborview for the better part of 12 hours. because very few people, once he was involuntarily submitted for self-harm evaluation, what you think isn't important. You're literally, until you have a session with somebody who has the legal authorization to clear you, you're going to the hospital. Like, if you're drunk and I'm pulling you out of the car, nothing you say matters. Like, you literally can't tell me you're okay, because we can't.
That's the big thing.
You're not medically capable of telling me you're okay. So now I'm going to proceed with you, essentially, and your consciousness is baggage. And that's what liability says.
For want of a better thing.
Now, if you escape, that's cool. Yeah. That's cool. As long as everyone was following the rules. Like, if you tear off all of your restraints that I put you on successfully and, like, do enough damage and kick open the back and fall into I-5 and get run over a million times, as long as I follow the rules, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing. If we leave you with nothing else, listening to this podcast, what you have in your head... I mean, we talk about honesty and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't have to leave out your mouth. You can actually be like, I'm fine. Everything's good.
Yeah.
If somebody says, hey, are you thinking about hurting yourself or someone else? You don't have to say, for example, well, doesn't everyone at some point in time think about...
You don't have to.
They're not asking for a philosophical answer. They're asking for an answer to tick a box.
So they can leave.
Say, okay... Yep. You're fine. Yeah, exactly.
So they can leave and you can go on and do whatever it is that you were thinking about. the machine just wants to hear a few lies. That's it. It's all lies all the way down. It's what makes the world go around. Everyone keeps going on about honesty. Jesus.
That's one of the things that I've learned a little bit when you're talking about like, for instance, security questions for things. A lot of what will get you in trouble is if you search to find the answer that they're wanting. Like, for instance, if somebody says, have you ever met with a foreign power? And you start going, huh, well, let me see.
What's your definition?
You know, I did know a guy who was from Germany. And I think he's in government somewhere, but I don't know. That's not what you want to do. That's not what they're kind of auditioning you for what you will do if the foreign press talks to you about something. They don't want someone who is really, really invested in going with you on a journey to every single fact in your life to find the one that will make you the bad guy. That's not the choice that you should be making. And with that,
all goes back to guilt.
Steven, there's one more thing that I forgot to do. And Ben, I'm sorry. We're a little bit over already.
Oh, God.
But hey, Benny!
Oh, jeez.
She gets tired of us super fast these days.
Yeah.
Benny!
Yeah. She's got her own jam going on.
But,
right.
But Steven's here. So... who knows?
But you're in the basement now. Everyone has to tromp down to the basement. Right. You're not.
Yeah, well, she's coming. You can hear her.
Scary, scary basement.
Yeah, she's getting closer. All right, she's in the kitchen.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Here she comes. She's coming down the stairs. Getting closer.
The tension is palpable.
Oh, and here she is. Hey, Betty.
Yeah.
Stephen McCandless is on the podcast today.
Oh.
I'm going to hand you... Now, Stephen, I can't hear you anymore. I'm putting the headphones on Betty. Now, Stephen and Betty, I'm going to talk for a second, you guys. Hopefully, it won't take too long. Stephen and Betty, you guys have a picture that I love, which is Stephen is holding you when you're a baby. And now, you're talking to him.
Cool.
Yeah, I have that picture somewhere. Hey, Betty.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, I didn't know if anyone mentioned, but I was watching My Hero Academia on your recommendation, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I don't watch it anymore.
Oh, jeez.
I just kind of... I don't know why. I just kind of got out of it.
Sure.
Does that make sense? probably doesn't make any sense. Anyways, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Well, no, this is really kind of your time.
Well, I'm gonna go to the store with Dad.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna get some things. And school's going okay. I have friends. That's fun.
No, oh, you're ahead of me at that age. Good job.
Yeah, at this age too.
Good point.
Yeah. Anyways, that's kind of it. How about you?
Oh well, you know, getting middle aged. Things keep changing. Everything I know is just leads me astray or is wildly irrelevant. Nothing makes sense anymore.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's okay because I think the important part to realize is that when nothing makes sense and it's all seemingly chaos, is that the lie was all the time you spent early in your life where that didn't seem to be true. And so coming to terms with it later is actually an improvement.
Then you have 40 years.
Epic.
Yeah.
Anyways, my earbuds are starting to fall out, so I'm gonna. Jeez. Bye.
Oh, the earbuds fell down.
Yeah, yeah. Just the other day, yeah.
Anyway, my earbuds are about to fall out.
Yeah,
so
I have to go.
Is
it super fun talking to you?
10 years ago.
It was really great. You should show up as often as you want.
Yeah.
Because. Because you're great.
Ben found the
picture.
And
I like you.
We found the picture on Facebook. Paul, you're not on Facebook, but the picture was posted 12 years ago, and Jennifer commented on it 10 years ago. That's how long we've all been under the control of Facebook.
Look at that. Not me. Ha ha.
Boy.
Although, I think that all of my old data is probably still there.
I was thin enough that I still wore t-shirts.
What do you wear now?
Oh, just any sack that'll cover my misshapen form. I don't want to scare people. Their earbuds fall out and they have to run. They just no.
Hey Ben, I think that's the first T-shirt that we can make for the podcast. My earbuds fell out.
Now I have to run.
My earbuds are falling out. I gotta go.
Yeah.
All right. And with that,
it's always fun talking
to you guys.
I
like you. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah.
I appreciate
it. All right. We'll see you next week.
And watch Watchmen. It's worth
Will
it.
Will do, man.
Okay. I'll see you
guys.
All right.
Keep it wrong, Paul.
Yep. Keep it wrong. All right. So I'm going to turn this off and then room tone.
Room tone's important.